going to make a few announcements before we get started. This meeting is being audio recorded by the board. It's also being privately audio and video recorded by members of the public. If anyone has a cell phone on, please either turn it off or put it on vibrate. Make sure that that doorway is not blocked. You either have to be in the room or out of the room. There will be no talking during any hearings. If you're participating in a hearing, if you're not participating in a hearing, take the conversation outside. Keep in mind, while you're outside, sound travels, and we ask you to speak as quietly as you can because it interrupts the hearings. If you're not participating in a hearing, if you are participating in a hearing as an attorney, fill out a notice of appearance so we can send a decision to you. Any witnesses or members of the public that speak on a matter and may want a copy of the decision, also fill that out. When your matter is called, anyone who will be testifying, please come up. That said, this is a meeting of the Board of License Commissioners, Tuesday, September 24th, 2019. It's 10:34 a.m. We're in the Michael J. Lombardi Building, 31 Mass Ave, Basement Conference Room. Before you, the Commissioners, Chair Nicole Moretti Ferrer, Granville Bard, and Gerard Mahoney. First matter, Schumacher Companies doing business as D. Schumacher Landscaping for violations of Cambridge Municipal Code pertaining to leaf blowers.
Chairs. I can slide down.
Right, anyone who's going to testify, please raise your right hand. Swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Good morning. Could you please state your names and spell your last names for the record?
B-E-A-N.
Great. Thank you.
Jeff Orbegoso, G-E-O-F-F. Orbegoso, O-R-B-E-G-O-S-O.
Thank you.
Mark with a C. Ethier. E-T-H-I-E-R.
Thank you.
Tyler Bubenik, B-U-B-E-N-I-K, licensing investigator with the City of Cambridge License Commission.
Okay, go ahead.
While on a routine patrol, I observed D. Schumacher Landscapers operating a leaf blower on August 29th, 11:45 a.m. in the parking lot behind 26 Garden Street in Cambridge. This constitutes usage during a prohibited period. Also operating a Still BR700X leaf blower, which is rated at 75 dBA. That is above the maximum allowable level of 65 dBA.
Thank you.
Thank you for letting us present our case to you today. We do not deny the use of the leaf blower. We apologize for the incident. We agree that the employee should not have been using the leaf blower within Cambridge. They are aware of the restrictions that Cambridge has imposed in regards to the leaf blower usage. Our crews service many communities north of Boston, south of Boston, and west of Boston. They go to multiple sites. Unfortunately, we had one employee with a momentary lapse of judgment in grabbing the leaf blower. And after the incident, he was spoken to, and the crews have been spoken to regarding the Cambridge requirement. Our history has shown that, to my knowledge, that we haven't had any citations in Cambridge, to the best of my recollection. And as a company, we go out on a safety meeting, myself and a contract company, going to sites to ensure that we're safety compliant, and the blowers are part of them. I have been to one site where the blower requirement had to be an electric blower. So that is taken into consideration when we go out to safety inspections. The only thing I would say is we apologize for the incident, and we look for leniency and a warning rather than a fine.
Thank you. Investigator Bubenik, in terms of discipline for this company?
Nothing in 2018. In 2017, an email warning from DPW was sent to not use leaf blowers at a construction site before the allowable construction time.
Okay, I was not aware of that. So was that a fine or a warning?
I think it was just an email, a warning. Wow.
Thank you. Do you guys have any questions? Do you guys want to take everything under advisement and then we vote on it, or are you ready to vote?
I'm ready to vote.
I'm ready to vote on this one as well. I would vote for a violation. We spend a lot of time sending emails and to companies and also educational materials with regard to leaf blowers, so I would vote for a fine for each. That's my vote.
I mean, it's a clear violation, but I think a warning is appropriate.
I would vote for a violation on each and a fine on one of the two. That would be my vote.
And you're sticking with warning on both?
Yeah.
Okay. So I will do a violation then, and let's do a... How about a warning for prohibited period and a $300 fine for the leaf blower above the allowable level?
Okay.
You'll receive a statement of reasons and information on how to proceed.
All right.
Thank you. Brightview Landscape. Brightview has filed a waiver of hearing. We just got it this morning. But why don't Investigator Rubin, if you're in this one too, why don't you present it since you're already sitting there?
Again, while on patrol, Brightview Landscape was observed using a leaf blower July 8th, 2 p.m. at 320 Charles Street, which constitutes operating during a prohibited period. Also, the person was using an Echo PB770T leaf blower, which is rated at 74 decibels. This is above the maximum of 65 decibels.
Okay, and in terms of their disciplinary history?
Nothing in 2018. In 2017, I have three violations. Hearing held on July 26th, $300 fine implemented, past due and past appeal date. Another violation from a hearing held on August 9th, a $300 fine implemented, past due and past appeal date. The third is a violation from a hearing held on September 20th. Two violations found in a total fine of $600 implemented, and permit was revoked until and to include December 31st, 2017. There was also a warning letter sent to be properly permitted in November 2016.
Okay. So, in that case, I would vote violation, and again, I'm for a $300 fine on each.
I would concur with that.
I concur.
Emanuela Leone, doing business as Leone Landscape Company. Can you stand and raise your right hand, please? You swear the testimony you're about to give to the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes.
Thank you.
Good morning. Sit down.
Thank you.
Could you please state your name and spell your last name for the record?
Eric Gamez, G-A-M-E-Z.
G-A?
G-A-M-E-Z.
Thank you. And again, for the record, Investigator Bubenek.
Tyler Bubenek, B-U-B-E-N-I-K, licensing investigator.
Go ahead.
On July 8th, 2019, at 10:30 a.m., Leone Landscape was observed using a leaf blower at 161 Brattle Street, which constitutes a violation because it's operating during a prohibited period.
In terms of history?
On August 15, 2018, the board found a violation, failure to comply with the cease and desist and usage during a prohibited period, and fined $300.
Thank you. Mr.
Gomes? Yeah, I'm here to represent Leone Landscaping. Our boss, Frank Leone, wasn't available to come as a family emergency. Okay. And I do agree. One of our guys was using leaf blower in Cambridge and Brattle Street. But you guys know, We go into a different towns and we always carry our backpack blowers and in our trailers. We have all three different kind of backpack blowers, electricals. And by mistaken, one of our employees, Cesar Nunez, took the backpack with water, and we use it. And then I'm here to, I do apologize, and we're going over with our employers, I'm the main foreman, to put a restriction and all the days we available to use the backpack blowers in the city of Cambridge.
Thank you. Question?
Yeah, what was the investigative group name? What was the 2018 history?
On August 15, 2018, the board found a violation, failure to comply with a cease and desist and usage during a prohibited period, and fined
$300. Okay.
Thanks. So for the same type of violation. With that said, I would vote for a violation. I would issue a $300 fine.
Okay.
We'll send you a statement of reasons and a notice. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Sayer and Associates. If you're going to testify, please remain standing. Raise your right hand. Swear the testimony you're about to give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning. Could you please state your names and spell your last names for the record?
My name is Dwight Johnson, J-O-H-N-S-O-N.
Thank you.
My name is Dio Mahes, M-A-H-A-S-E.
M-A-H?
A-S-E.
And your first name, I'm sorry, I didn't catch
Dio, D-E-O.
Great, thank you.
Tyler Bubenik, B-U-B-E-N-I-K, licensing investigator.
Go ahead, investigator Bubenik.
While on patrol, I observed Thayer and Associates using a leaf blower on August 19th at approximately 11 a.m. in the vicinity of 993 Memorial Drive without being properly permitted during a prohibited period and utilizing a steel BR600 leaf blower rated at 75 dBA. I'll make a correction here. On your inspection sheet, it says 77. It's actually rated at 75, although that still constitutes a violation because it's above the maximum allowable limit of 65 dBA.
Thank you.
Yes, we certainly don't deny the allegation. We manage a lot of property in Cambridge. To my knowledge, all of our clients support the ordinance. The company supports the ordinance. I support the ordinance. We're sorry for the circumstances. We're not going to use the leaf blower. Again.
And are you, so you're a management company?
We are.
And do you employ more than two people that use leaf blowers for the company?
No. We typically employ contractors to do our landscaping. This is one property that we do it ourselves.
Okay. All right.
If I could add one thing.
Yep, go ahead.
This is a violation of a cease and desist that was sent on July
12, 2019. Okay. It says 18 on the agenda.
There was a citation issued in 2018.
In 18?
Yes.
Was it July 8, 11, 2018?
No, it was July 12, 2018.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Do you guys have any questions?
So, just the one property you utilize your own personnel to do the work? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Yes.
So, in terms of the failure to comply with the cease and desist, I would find a violation and a warning. In terms of the operation without a permit, I would find a no violation because they're not a commercial leaf blower operator according to our ordinance. And the answers provided here. In terms of the operating during a prohibited period and operating a leaf blower with sound emissions above 65 dBA, I would find a violation for both and I would issue a fine on each.
I concur with that.
As do I.
Okay. Thank you. We'll send you a statement of reason. Thank you. Construction.
Garrick? Duco Enterprises, doing business as Thistle and Shamrock, 62 Walden Street. Raise your right hand. Swear the testimony you're about to give to be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do, yes.
Thank you. Please sit down. Good morning. Could you please state your name and spell your last name for the record?
My name is Jackson Hall, H-A-L-L.
Thank you.
Officer Benizito, S-Z-E-T-O. Cambridge Police.
Thank you.
Tyler Bubenik, B-U-B-E-N-I-K, licensing investigator.
Thank you. Go ahead.
While performing a field investigation, an underage individual working with the Cambridge License Commission was able to procure a six-pack of beer on August 6, 2019 at 4:20 p.m. at Thistle and Shamrock, located at 62 Walden Street. I picked up the underage operative from the Cambridge Police Department on the afternoon of August 6. I collected all items from the individual so that there was nothing on their person, and gave them one marked $20 bill. We reviewed the License Commission's compliance check guidelines, and the individual signed the agreement of participation, waiver of liability, and guidelines. The underage individual entered the establishment. While standing outside, I was able to see them pick up a six-pack of beer, bring it to the register, pay for the item, then leave the premise. Once the operative left the establishment, Officer Zito and I retrieved the six-pack and change. I also asked if the cashier who sold them the six-pack asked for identification, and the operative informed me that they had not. I returned the six-pack and change, informed the cashier that they had sold a six-pack to an underage person, and requested my marked $20 bill back, which they returned. I then filled out inspection form number 1000, which was signed, and a copy was left with the establishment.
Thank you. Mr. Hall?
I am not denying any of that. That did happen. I very much apologize. I let myself down. I let the community down. I let you guys down. That is not how I want to make my money. I want to make my money selling, you know, to people that are legal. I thought I had done a good enough job training my cashiers, but obviously I haven't. The cashier in question I have since terminated. I have enacted a new policy that says if you sell tobacco or alcohol to anyone under the year of 21, you get fired, and you have to card everybody. And I've also made every employee take an under 21 class, I think that's what it's called, with the city. Mm-hmm. And I have put signs all over my store saying you cannot buy alcohol unless you're 21 years of age.
Thank you. Questions?
History?
Yeah,
I'm not
so
aware.
They have been in operation since 2013, and there's no disciplinary history since that time. With that said, I think this is identical to the case that we heard recently for Martin Liquors, where the cashier didn't even ask for an ID. This is the crux of what they're doing. I just find no excuse for this type of violation. I think it's egregious, and it's a big public safety issue. And with that, I would vote consistent with what we voted in a similar case, which is a violation and 2-day suspension.
I concur.
Okay, we'll receive a statement of reasons for the information.
Okay, it was 2-day suspension?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Liquor World Incorporated, doing business as Porter Square Wine and Spirits. Going to testify, please raise your right hand. You swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
I do.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning. Could you please state your names for the record?
Good morning, Madam Chair, members. Attorney Trish Farnsworth, F-A-R-N-S-W-O-R-T-H, for the licensee.
Stephen Robinson, R-O-B-I-N-S-O-N. I'm the owner, licensee.
Carol King, K-I-N-G, general manager.
Thank you.
Benny Zito, S-Z-E-T-O, Cambridge Police.
Tyler Bubenik, B-U-B-E-N-I-K, licensing investigator.
Thank you, go ahead.
While performing a field investigation...
Excuse me. Miss, you either have to come in the room or step outside. You can't block the doorway. Thank you.
While performing a field investigation, an underage individual working with the Cambridge License Commission was able to procure a six-pack of beer on August 6, 2019, at 4 p.m., at Porter Square Wine and Spirits, located at 13 White Street. I picked up the underage operative from the Cambridge Police Department on the afternoon of August 6th. I collected all items from the individual so that there was nothing on their person and gave them one marked $20 bill. We reviewed the License Commission's compliance check guidelines, and the individual signed the agreement of participation, waiver of liability, and guidelines. The underage individual entered the establishment. I waited outside of the premise on the sidewalk with a clear view of the door. When the operative exited the establishment, they were in possession of a six-pack of beer, which Officer Zito and I then immediately retrieved, along with the change. I also asked if the cashier who sold them the six-pack asked for identification, and the individual informed me that they had. When asked if they had ID, the operative replied that they did not, following which the cashier completed the sale. I returned the six-pack and change, informed the cashier that they had sold the six-pack to an underage person, and requested my marked $20 bill back, which they returned. I then filled out inspection form number 990, which was signed, and a copy was left with the establishment.
Thank you.
I just had a couple of questions, investigator. Did the clerk state that they had carded, asked for ID?
I asked the operative if they had asked for ID, and they said that they did.
They did. Mm-hmm. Correct. Okay. And I just also want to introduce Mr. Robinson, who's owned this establishment for how long?
Bought in December of 1982, so roughly 36 years.
Almost 40 years. A good record, stellar record. And I also want to introduce Carol King, who is the manager. Ms. King, can you just say what happened to both the clerk and the manager on duty that day?
Yes, they were terminated.
Okay. And was the clerk tips trained?
She was.
And is your policy to card everyone?
That is my policy.
And the clerk told you that she, what did she tell you?
Yes, yeah, she said that she carded the man, and he said he didn't have an ID.
And
sorry, and you said you card everyone. What's the policy when they ask for an ID and they say they don't have one?
To they can't sell the liquor.
So your clerk didn't follow your policy?
She didn't follow the policy.
Go ahead, sorry.
And she's terminated for that. And prior to this, what have you done to ensure that alcohol does not become in possession by minors?
We have a service that comes in once or twice a month, and they are of legal age. They're under 30, and they test the people to see if in fact they're asked for an ID, and they receive what they call a green card if they get one, and then a red card if they do not. And again, the policy is if you get a red card, you are terminated within the year. For every month we had one red card, that person was terminated. Since this now, they have to put a person's birthday into the register on every sale, so that we're stepping up, which I thought was a very reasonable ask, everybody for an ID. Now they put in a birthday.
I'm sorry, and I think it might have been the way that your counselor asked the question. Are you saying that the quote-unquote the secret shopper program was already implemented?
Yes,
or it was
implemented
this incident?
That's been implemented for about 20 years.
Okay. Thank you.
And
the date of birth, just so there's no, it was implemented after this event.
Yeah.
Correct. And also, what did you do after the event with respect to the employees, reminding them about policy?
We had a meeting and told them of the policy, stressed it again, and again then told them of the new policy to institute the date of birth into the register.
In over, you know, your 40 years of experience, what other things have you done with respect to the types of products that you sell to try to discourage younger folks?
We do not sell any of the Mad Dog 2020 type of alcohol. We don't sell Andre Champagne. We try not to have those types of articles, products in the store that kind of bring in the underage drinking. That's not the sort of business that we want. We want the good consumer that wants to come in, buy a fine bottle of wine, a fine bottle of liquor, and not the underage that wants to come in and buy the high alcohol content 40-ounce beers.
I just want to point out that, you know, the ID was, in fact, requested here. And, you know, in accordance with ABCC guidelines and the ABCC decisions, if an ID is asked for, the decoy is supposed to leave the establishment. So I would suggest that, you know, that was not followed in this case.
Thank you.
I can give you, just so you have it in your file, the base date decision.
For this particular matter, based on the operative remaining in the store, I'd want to look into this a little bit more in terms of case law and everything, so I'd like to defer my decision on this one.
Good. We can hold on to advisement.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Inman Cambridge, doing business as Inman Square Wine and Spirits. Please raise your right hands. I swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes, yes.
Thank you.
Good morning. Could you please state your names and spell your last names for the record?
Joseph Souza, S-O-U-S-A.
Thank you.
Jonas Atwood, J-O-N-A-S. A-T-W-O-O-D.
I'm sorry, Jonas, your last name?
Atwood.
Thank you.
Officer Benizito, S-Z-E-T-O, Cambridge Police.
Tyler Boone, B-U-E-E-N-I-K, licensing investigator.
Thank you. Go ahead.
While performing a field investigation, an underage individual working with the Cambridge License Commission was able to procure a six-pack of beer on August 6, 2019 at 2:30 p.m. at Inman Square Wine and Spirits, located at 1226 Cambridge Street. I picked up the underage operative from the Cambridge Police Department on the afternoon of August 6. I collected all items from the individual so that there was nothing on their person and gave them one marked $20 bill. We reviewed the License Commission's compliance check guidelines, and the individual signed the agreement of participation, waiver of liability, and guidelines. The underage individual entered the establishment, and I waited a few seconds before entering as well. Observing from inside the premise, I was able to see them pick up a six-pack of beer, bring it to the register, pay for the item, then leave the premise. I followed the operative outside and retrieved the six-pack and change immediately. I also asked if the cashier who sold them the six-pack asked for identification, and the operative informed me that they had not. I returned the six-pack and change, informed the cashier that they had sold a six-pack to an underage person, and requested my marked $20 bill back, which they returned. I then filled out inspection form number 976, which was signed, and a copy was left with the establishment.
Thank you.
That's precisely what did happen. It was a lapse of judgment on actually my part. I'm the manager of the store. I'm responsible for training our staff. And we do take IDing our customers seriously. I was briefly distracted at the moment, did happen. It's become a teaching moment for our staff at the store that nobody's above this. Everybody, even if you're just stepping into cashier, you have to be diligent with this. As good faith, we've updated our serve safe training to have that up to date, and implemented a store policy where all of our employees have to get certified as well. Again, we apologize for the violation. It's something we do take seriously.
Thank you.
Were you the cashier for this incident?
I had stepped in to cashier. The cashier was not in at the moment. And there was I'm not one to make excuses. There was a circumstance where at precisely the time this person did come in, a woman came in that had just purchased a bottle of wine and informed me that she had dropped and broken the bottle right outside the store. And I was trying to ascertain what she was telling me as this person came in. I was distracted. It's something that is professionally embarrassing to me. I've been in restaurants, hotels, and now retail for about 20 years. I've never had anything like this happen to me. And like I said, this has become a teaching moment for our store.
In terms of record, they've been open since 2015 and have no disciplinary history. With that said, again, I'm just concerned in terms of public safety issues and, you know, not even I understand the circumstances and everything, but I would vote consistent with our previous, and I would do violation today.
Concur.
We'll send you a statement of reason. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just to be clear, there was no ask on that previous case, right? No ask for ID, right?
Nah, let me check the notes here, sorry. I don't believe so. No, they did not ask for ID.
I read the design, I just wanted to make sure.
Cambridge Spirits. Testimony, you're about to give me the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Thank you. Good morning. Could you please state your names and spell your last names for
sure.
The record?
Sure. Charles, last name is Marquardt.
Good morning, Commissioners. For the record, James Rafferty. I'm an attorney with offices at 907 Massachusetts Avenue in Cambridge. I represent the licensee.
Thank you.
Elizabeth Stubbs, Stubbs.
Officer Benicito, SZETO of Cambridge Police.
Tyler Bubenick, Bubenik, licensing investigator.
Thank you. Go ahead.
While performing a field investigation, an underage individual working with the Cambridge License Commission was able to procure a six-pack of beer on August 15th, 2019, at 4:20 p.m. at Cambridge Spirits, located at 250 Kendall Street. I picked up the underage operative from the Cambridge Police Department on the afternoon of August 15th. I collected all items from the individual so that there was nothing on their person and gave them one marked $20 bill. We reviewed the License Commission's compliance check guidelines, and the individual signed the Agreement of Participation, Waiver of Liability, and Guidelines. The underage individual entered the establishment. I waited outside of the premise on the sidewalk with a clear view of the door. When the operative exited the establishment, they were in possession of a six-pack of beer, which Officer Zito and I then immediately retrieved, along with the change. I also asked if the cashier who sold them the six-pack asked for identification, and the operative informed me that they had not. I returned the six-pack and change, informed the cashier that they had sold a six-pack to an underage person and requested my marked $20 bill back, which they returned. I then filled out inspection form number 968, which was signed, and a copy was left with the establishment.
Thank you, Counselor.
Thank you. Inspector Bubenick, you stated that you're familiar with the compliance checklist guidelines associated with these things. What's the name of the underage operative that participated in this operation?
I would rather not give out that information as it might compromise future investigations.
Is that individual present today?
No.
when you were in the licensed premises, or when you would, when the operative was in the licensed premises, were you able to overhear his conversations?
No.
So any information you have, or that the commission has by way of evidence, is hearsay reported to you by someone who's not present today?
That's a legal conclusion.
Well, it's
but
not...
But you can ask him the question if all he has is what...
Okay. Striking the reference to hearsay, is there... You did not have any first-hand knowledge of the conversation that occurred, correct?
I didn't hear the interaction firsthand.
Correct. And when you... And the name of the individual... Oh, strike that. Where is the individual employee that was the operative?
I would also not rather... I would rather not reveal that as it might compromise future investigations.
Okay. How was this individual selected to serve as an operative?
I actually didn't do the selection process, so I couldn't tell you with any great confidence.
Are you aware who did the selection process?
I'm not.
Okay. Are you familiar with the guideline that states that the underage person taking part in the compliance check should reasonably look their age?
I am.
Okay, so you don't... Well, strike that. Do you have a photo ID of that individual?
I have, but again, I would rather not release that information as it could compromise future investigations.
Have you provided a copy of that individual's license to the License Commission?
There is a photograph that I take before the investigation start that I include with a signed form.
Okay. But that's not contained in the report you provided to licensees?
It's not contained in the... It's, no, the licensee only got the inspection form. Okay.
Are there other reports regarding this operation that you have not provided to licensees?
No.
So the legal evidence around the age of the operative is determined by your observation of their license?
I'm sorry, could you rephrase that?
The legal evidence concerning the age of the operative was determined, what's, how?
Again, I didn't select the person, so I, whoever made the selection would have told them that this is person is underage. Maybe I don't understand your question.
How is it established what the age of this individual is?
I didn't do the selection, so I don't know how the age was established, but I know that they would have asked for identification to prove their age.
Motion to strike. They would have asked?
I think so.
I don't think, well. Did you, what, strike that, what is the age of this individual?
20.
What's the individual's birthday?
I don't know their exact birthday.
Is the individual a male or a female?
Again, you could use some deductive reasoning there, and I wouldn't answer that. Could compromise future investigations.
Do you have a photo of this individual that you're able to introduce into evidence today?
I don't know if I would that mean that you would have access and the public would have access to
yes,
that
it's
photo?
Yes, it's called evidence in a public. You're an investigator, right? You're trained in hearings.
Yeah.
It's evidence. Do you have any?
You don't need to badger him.
I apologize. That was my intention to badger. I was trying to be emphatic, but maybe I overstepped.
I would say no then for the same reason.
Okay. Thank you. All right. But in your opinion, you think this individual does look reasonably their age?
In my assessment, yes.
Right. And that's all the evidence we have regarding that. It's your judgment.
I was supposed to.
Okay. Thank you.
The operative that you used that day, does the operative have any facial hair?
No.
Did they have any facial hair at the time of the inspection?
No.
Were they wearing any glasses?
No.
Eyeglasses?
Nope.
Sunglasses?
Nope.
Were they wearing a hat?
No, nothing that would obscure their face.
Thank you.
I just have a question or two of Elizabeth, could you? Just you're on duty the date in question, correct?
Correct.
And you're familiar with the facts as described by Inspector Bubinek?
Yes.
And you are the person that the purchase was made from, correct?
Yes.
Did you have an? How long have you worked in the liquor store?
I have been there for 4 years, 2 months plus.
Have you received tips training?
I have.
Okay. In your estimation, how did the what did the age of this individual appear to be?
30.
Any question in your mind about that?
There is not.
Okay.
And how would you describe this person that you believe him to be 30?
Tall, light to gray hair.
What's the hair color of the person?
Brown.
Thank you.
You may continue, counsel.
That's all the questions I have, if I could be heard on disposition.
One moment. Okay. Mr. Mark, you were there that
yes,
day, correct?
Yes, I was there as well, yes.
And you received the inspection form?
I as manager of record, signed the inspection report.
Did you observe the sale?
I did not. I was working on something for a customer.
Okay. Thank you. You may go ahead, counsel.
Well, in conclusion, it would be the licensee's contention that the evidential burden, has not been established yet to warrant a finding of the sale for an underage person. The commission of the investigative staff has available to it the individual who directly participated in these sales, has failed to produce that individual, will not produce a photo of that individual, doesn't allow the commission an attempt to assess whether or not that individual complies with the checklist guideline around reasonable age. Similarly, there is no direct evidence as to the age of this individual. It's reported by the inspector that he reviewed the license. I take that back. I'm not even certain that that was his testimony. And this may sound technical, and it doesn't change or alter the facts, but the checklist and the guidelines exist for a reason. And I would suggest in the case of a licensee that has no record, who has a TIPS-trained staff person, who generally believe the person was of age, that the failure to comply with the guidelines in this case should cause some concern for the commission, and I would respectfully suggest that a finding of not responsible be entered in this case.
I'm sorry, can you tell me which guideline you're saying is not complied with?
The photo of an underage person should be attached to the report.
Does it say the report? Or does it say to this?
A photo of the underage person should be taken and attached to the information requested in number 6. Then the underage person should sign a release. The number 6 then goes on to say an underage person should sign a release. The underage person and an ABCC investigator or any other law enforcement officer should also sign and date a copy of the report. I've asked the inspector to provide us with a copy of the report. Has not done so. Excuse me. The investigator now produces evidence.
That's a copy of the same copy of that.
Okay, thank you.
This is the same copy. I think he's reading the ABCC guidelines.
Yeah.
We're reading our guidelines.
Oh, okay.
I recognize that.
Did I tell you the wrong one?
And I'd say there's no way to credibly ascertain whether or not guideline number 2 regarding whether the individual reasonably looked their age. That's evidence that's germane to the determination by the commission, should have been allowed for the licensee to examine, cross-examine and confront. The fundamental element of due process is missing here.
Well, it's a he said, she said situation, is it not? Because you have testifying that the person did not look at their age, and then you have the investigator saying that they did look their age. So it's a question for us to determine who's more credible on that regard.
Well, in fairness, Madam Chair, the best evidence rule would suggest the best way to determine that is through the live examination of the individual. So now it becomes speculation.
But that's best evidence in court.
Practical concerns, Officer Rubinek. You didn't state this clearly, but if your concerns that if you provided the photograph for public dissemination, then you could never use that individual, that covert operative again, right?
Correct.
Anything else?
No, thank you, other than to emphasize the lack of any disciplinary history for this particular licensee.
And you didn't go into this, but I am concerned. I mean, I think this is, again, as I said with every other case with this regard, this is a huge public safety violation. And although your counsel has honed in on the events of that day, I haven't heard a single thing from you in terms of what you've done try and make sure that this does not happen again. So I'd like to actually hear some of that.
We have completely changed our process. We're no longer, if they look old enough, are they allowed to not have an ID. They must provide an ID. We have scheduled everybody to do online TIP training. We've already done that at request to the license renewals, but that will be further encouraged, and we have put up some signs asking people to have their IDs ready. And we make sure that our ID scanner is up to date, and we use ID signs.
Thank you.
What was the policy in place prior to the incident?
Prior to the incident, if they looked over 30 or so in your judgment, then you wouldn't necessarily have to ask for an ID. And I realize that that is probably not the best thing in light of people that can look significantly older than they are.
Thank you. Anything else?
It looks like they've been in operation since 2013 and have no disciplinary history. With that said, I think whether this individual looked their age or not, I did not find the testimony of the licensee credible. Even the licensee said light hair, and the person has brown hair. So I find a violation, and again, because of everything and the consistent with our previous votes, I would vote for a 2-day suspension.
I agree.
This is a statement of reasoning. Thank you.
Thank you, officer.
Broadway Marketplace. Please raise your right hand. You swear the testimony you're about to give to you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Thank you. Just for the record, Chief Mahoney is recusing himself from this matter. Thank you. Good morning. Could you please state your names and spell your last names for the record?
George Hickey, H-I-C-K-E-Y.
Thank you.
Charles Bugas, B-O-U-G-A-S.
Thank you.
Richard Sabunjian, S-A-B-O-U-N-J-I-A-N.
Thank you.
What's the name for this one?
Okay. Tyler Bubenik, B-U-B-E-N-I-K, licensing investigator.
Thank you. Go ahead.
While performing a field investigation, an underage individual working with the Cambridge License Commission was able to procure a 6-pack of beer on August 15th, 2019 at 2:30 p.m. at Broadway Marketplace, located at 468 Broadway. I picked up the underage operative from the Cambridge Police Department on the afternoon of August 15th. I collected all items from the individual so that there was nothing on their person and gave them one marked $20 bill. We reviewed the License Commission's compliance check guidelines, and the individual signed the agreement of participation, waiver of liability, and guidelines. The underage individual entered the establishment, and I waited a few seconds before entering as well. Observing from inside the premise, I was able to see them pick up a 6-pack of beer, bring it to the register, pay for the item, then leave the premise. I followed the operative outside and retrieved the 6-pack and change immediately. I also asked if the cashier who sold them the 6-pack asked for identification, and the operative informed me they had not. I returned the 6-pack and change, informed the cashier that they had sold the 6-pack to an underage person, and requested my marked $20 bill back, which they returned. I then filled out inspection form number 977, which was signed, and a copy was left with the establishment.
Thank you.
I just want to say that I have operated Broadway Marketplace, the front end of Broadway Marketplace, under the previous license holder, D&J Lichter Partners, for 25 years. I don't believe we had ever had an incident in all that time. For the last 10 years, I purchased the license from John Lichter. For the last 10 years, I have been the manager of that license, and we have not had an incident. We take this responsibility very seriously. We have an incredibly tough alcohol policy, similar to some of the other people here. We have DataQuest monitoring service come in on a regular routine basis to check our cashiers. If a cashier is, we have a very positive record. If a cashier is found to have sold alcohol and not checked an ID of someone who is of age, by the way, they are terminated. This particular, we're known in the area for having an extremely tight liquor policy. We have scores of really angry customers. I have emails from 70-year-old Harvard professors complaining that we check their ID every time they come in the store. I have Yelp reviews from 30 and 40-year-old individuals complaining that we shouldn't be checking IDs so rigidly. We have, I have one in particular gentleman who wrote an email to me complaining about the fact that we carded five people in a group of five people because one of the people was purchasing alcohol and we carded all five of them and refused the sale of alcohol. So it's very important to us. We know that we're held to a high standard and we respect that. That said, I'm curious to know, you came into the store and you spoke with George, our store manager. I don't believe you addressed the cashier directly. And we never saw the individual who came in to purchase the alcohol. And you said that you witnessed the sale of alcohol?
I'm sorry, was that a yes?
Yes.
Thank you.
So when you came back in the store to find the $20 bill, you didn't even know which cash register the $20 bill was in. George had to go through three different cash registers to count out 20s to look for a marked bill.
If that's a question, you need to let him answer.
I'm sorry.
The operative told me which lane he checked out in, and that's who I would turn the six-pack to. And then we couldn't actually find the 20. We were pulling out the $20 bills, and I don't remember if it was the cashier first or if it was you at first. It was you at some point, at least. But at least initially, whoever it was couldn't find the marked bill. So then I had them check the other tills. So it wasn't because I didn't know which cashier used the checkout. It's because they couldn't produce the marked $20 bill at first, so we were checking all.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Is your testimony that you went to the cashier who you observed selling the alcohol?
Right.
Okay.
I know you said it initially. Did the operative say that the cashier asked for ID?
No. Didn't ask for ID at Broadway Marketplace.
So we have a policy that states that every individual purchasing alcohol, regardless of age, needs to be checked for ID. So we determined, based on what you told us, that cashier violated that policy. And we terminated her employment immediately. And I'm just curious because, and I'm not an attorney, obviously, but it seems like there are an awful lot of people here who were set up that day. And it seems to me, from what we saw that day when we checked the video cameras, this individual was about my height, and
what's
he was
your height?
About 6'2", and he was about that officer's build, and he did not look like he was under the age of 20 or 30, but I'm curious to know how many people you visited that day and how many violations were cited.
If the board says that's relevant. Yeah. So on that day, I think we went to 6 and 5 were cited. I can actually, I'll check the date on the reports here and then we'll move over. So you were
check
on
the agenda.
Yeah, okay.
Everyone that was visited and sold to a minor was cited.
Yeah. Right.
And, you know, just for in terms of clarification, no one here was set up.
Well, they call it a sting, right?
No, these are compliance checks of which all of you, Ms. Courtney, you can either be quiet or take it outside.
I did say.
Yes, you did.
Sure you did. Certainly did.
You sure did, and if you're going to continue interrupting the hearing, you can leave.
I didn't interrupt. I didn't.
You are interrupting now. Thank you. These are compliance checks that are done pursuant to the law. These are compliance checks of which all of you received notice at the beginning of the year, which were published in the Chronicle. So these are compliance checks that can happen and that do happen and that happen for exactly this reason. I can tell you that it is quite concerning to me that there are so many of these package stores that are failing these compliance checks. This is why I'm so perplexed. So this is not a setup. This is a wake-up call for all of you. You may answer the question.
5 of 6 were violations.
Okay. I just want to tell you that the actions that you take affect many people's livelihood. And as I mentioned earlier, we take this responsibility very seriously. And there's nothing we can say. We just ask for leniency based on our prior history.
So this particular LLC was approved in 2017, although I do know that you have been...
2010 is when I got the letter.
Yeah, I'm just saying the LLC changes were approved, right? No,
the liquor license was 2009 or 10 was transferred to the LLC.
Okay. There's no disciplinary history. Again, and for the same reasons, I think this is a very serious offense. And I agree, what we do affects people's livelihoods, but so does what every business in this, every Section 15. And this is a public safety issue, so again, I would vote consistent with what we voted, and I would vote for a violation 2-day suspension.
So the difference here, as in the difference in the one that we held under advisement, I think it's Porter Square,
mm-hmm.
is that they do... self-initiated integrity checks. I think they do everything they can to ensure that, you know, they comply with the policy. And when they found out that the policy was violated, then they fired the individual, not unlike some of the other ones who were 2 days. My point is that I think it's a clear violation and obviously a dire public safety concern, but I think that the suspension should be 1 day.
So I took the other one under advisement because our guidelines say that when they're asked for ID, the operative...
They have to leave.
It doesn't say they have to. It says they should. And I know that there are some cases which I haven't had an opportunity to review in terms of how that should is being interpreted.
My only point in mentioning it was that I was going to make the same argument as far as a suspension in mm-hmm. that case, that it should not be the same 2 days that everyone else had because of the measures that they already have in place with the self... the integrity checks that they have in place through data quests.
But I mean, we have the one before where they have had, very strict policies, and yet we voted a 2-day suspension.
For me, the integrity checks is the difference. So I think a 1-day suspension is more appropriate.
I can. We can produce it.
We're voting now. Oh. I'll take it under advisement, but I'm not ready to do a 2-day on this, do a 1-day on this one. So we'll take it under advisement. Thank you.
Thank
and
you.
If you do want to give that stuff that you referenced to, we'll take it.
The data quest?
You mentioned stuff about emails, and I kept seeing you sort of pull them up. I didn't know if you wanted to give them to us.
Oh, I didn't know. These are the emails.
But
we'll show you the emails.
If you
everything.
Do want to give us the
yes.
documents that you referenced, then we'll take them.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
In the policy here. Okay, we can give her everything.
Yeah, but I need this back. All right, fine.
These are employee signed copies. When we hire employees,
you can give them to Chief Boyer, and she'll make copies of theirs. And Chief Boyer, can you get Chief Mahoney, please?
Yes.
Thanks. Thank you.
Cellar Wine and Spirits. Testimony you're about to give, please, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes.
Thank you. Good morning. Could you please state your names and spell your last names for the record?
Good morning. James Rafferty, 907 Massachusetts Avenue, on behalf of the licensee.
Thank you.
George Crowley, C-R-A-W-L-E-Y.
Thank you.
Marilyn Carter, manager, selling one of the
C-A-R-T-E-R?
Correct.
Thank you.
Also, Benny Zito, S-C-E-T-O, Cambridge Police.
Thank you.
Tyler Bubenik, B-U-B-E-N-I-K, licensing investigator.
Thank you. Go ahead.
While performing a field investigation, an underage individual working with the Cambridge License Commission was able to procure a six-pack of beer on August 15th, 2019 at 2:50 p.m. at Cellar Wine and Spirits, located at 991 Massachusetts Avenue. I picked up the underage operative from the Cambridge Police Department on the afternoon of August 15th. I collected all items from the individual so that there was nothing on their person and gave them one marked $20 bill. We reviewed the License Commission's compliance check guidelines, and the individual signed the Agreement of Participation, Waiver of Liability, and Guidelines. The underage individual entered the establishment. I waited outside of the premise on the sidewalk with a clear view of the door. When the operative exited the establishment, they were in possession of a six-pack of beer, which Officer Zito and I then immediately retrieved along with the change. I also asked if the cashier who sold them the six-pack asked for identification, and the operative informed me that they had not. I returned the six-pack and change, informed the cashier that they had sold the six-pack to an underage person, and requested my marked $20 bill back, which they returned. I then filled out inspection form number 981, which was signed, and a copy was left with the establishment.
Thank you.
Thank you. Inspector Bubenik, in the course of your investigations of liquor establishments, particularly package stores, are you aware that many establishments have video monitoring systems in place?
I don't know that many places have them, but I know they exist.
Okay. Can I show you a photograph of this individual and ask you whether that's the operative that you relied on?
That appears to be them, yeah. Quality's a little bad, but I would say that looks like them.
May I offer this to the board? This is the individual that you've testified earlier that you believe reasonably looks their age.
Yes.
And their age being 20.
Correct.
Okay. At any point, how many establishments did you visit on both of the dates here under this operation?
Approximation, or do you need an exact number?
When you say both of these dates, which well, dates are you referring to?
I noticed, thank you, I noticed the agenda reflects August 6th dates. And I thought I saw some other dates as well. Perhaps I...
15th.
August 15th date here also.
Okay.
Am I correct, Inspector?
You are.
Yeah.
If you allow me to count, I can tell you how many combined on both
okay.
dates. 12, I believe.
Okay. And is it your testimony that the best of your memory, you visited 13 and you found 12 violations?
Hold on.
I think it's 11.
I don't think you answered his question.
What was it?
He asked you how many visited total August 6th and August 15th, regardless of whether they failed or they passed.
Oh, okay. So then there are 11 here. There are 11 on this agenda, and there were two that passed, so that would be 13.
So my question is, at any point during the course of this investigation, when you were seeing such a high number of licensed establishments failing to request ID, did at any point cause you to question whether the operative might not reasonably look his age?
That was not my conclusion. I also check IDs regularly as part of my job, and I was in the service industry for 10 years, and it was my assessment that I would have carded that person.
Question, did you use the same operative on both days?
Yes.
The gentleman that appears to be in the picture.
Mm-hmm.
And that individual, we'll strike that. So that is the individual that appears in the photo.
It looks like him, yeah.
Okay.
It is.
We'll wait till you testify. So With regard to the specifics of this particular licensee, Mr. Crowley, I wonder if you could just describe what happened that day, what your history is in the hospitality, entertainment, alcohol sale business.
Well, I've been in this business for over 40 years. I'm retired, but I work part-time, you know, a couple of days. And I've never had anybody get past me before with a fake or any kind of ID. I'm strict about checking IDs. This guy looked old enough to me. Also, I just wasn't long out of hospital after having a knee replacement surgery, so I was on medication, but it's no excuse, I suppose. But he walked into the establishment. He came in the door and he walked, you know, around. There's a bunch of wine racks, and then he kept looking over at me. I should have been a red flag right away, but I let it pass. But I didn't check his ID. And then he strictly came back in.
So,
and also,
wait, for a question. So you were the cashier?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And also, the six pack that he bought was non-alcoholic.
I don't have records of. I believe he bought a Heineken.
No, we don't sell Heineken, so it wasn't Heineken.
I believe. I said I'm not sure.
Well,
I don't have records of which types were bought.
So it's your testimony that in this case, you
I returned the six pack of beer, and I would do what type of beer was it that he bought?
Klaus Haller.
Sorry?
Klaus Haller.
No, it was some sort of Heineken. But Officer Zito, do you recall what the?
I believe it was Heineken.
The licensee testified they don't sell Heineken.
Do you recall concretely what it was?
Well, I can't be sure, but it was usually he's been grabbing Heinekens all day on that particular day. But
he can't grab, but they don't sell. So
I'm not positive that was Heineken. What is the name of the non-alcoholic beer?
Klaus Haller.
Klaus Haller. Do you have? No, I won't.
Anything else?
I think there's a lack of evidence here to demonstrate that the operative purchased an alcoholic beverage. Neither of the two investigators assigned to the operation can state with any certainty what was purchased. The licensee, including the individual involved directly in the sale, reports that it was a non-alcoholic beverage and that the type of beverage being suggested by the two investigators is not sold at the premises.
I'm sorry, I do have records of which types of alcohol were bought, just it's not the corresponding licensees. And there's a Heineken, Leinenkugel Summer, and a Heineken Light.
So do you sell Leinenkugel?
No.
Everything was a Heineken that you just said, except for the one.
Heineken Light, Leinenkugel Summer, Heineken, Libby's Heineken, or sorry, not Libby's, Heineken.
Are these notes you can share with the counsel for the licensee?
Well, I think that's his investigative file.
That's
so
it. They don't have corresponding businesses attached to them, but those are the beers purchased on that day.
So just to be clear, Mr. Crowley, you sell no Heineken of any...
You don't sell Heineken, no.
The other brand that he mentioned, that the investigative movement had mentioned.
I might be able
that?
To look on a phone. I took pictures of all the six packs, and we would be able to tell if...
Well, if you took pictures, then I think you need to go look at your...
Well, what's... Do you sell the other beer that's on there?
I don't know. We've been changing beers.
I'm sorry, can you speak up because...
Yes, we have been introducing different beers because people's tastes have gotten very
Do you recognize this
brand?
But
we'll let her finish now.
I don't recognize the name. But I do know the Klaus Haller because it's a non-alcoholic beer and a lot of people ask for it. And it could be mistaken for a Heineken because it, you know, the can looks very similar, but it's not Heineken.
Do you sell that in six packs?
The Klaus Haller, yes. But I can prove that I've never bought Heineken for the last two or three years from invoices from Horizon Beverage. They're the only people who sell Heineken.
So what I'm doing is I'm just checking the timestamp to see if it corresponds with either this or my work phone six pack. The date is August 15th.
At 2:50 according to your license inspection form.
Okay. So it's not on this phone.
What is this?
Oh, the...
PM. You have to forgive me, there's a lot of photos on my work phone. Okay. I have pictures of, well, let's see which exactly the timestamp. Sorry, my apologies. This one is 4:20. 4 o'clock. I have a picture of Leinenkugel's Summer Shandy that corresponds to the date and time stamp of this inspection sheet. Which
and is that one of the ones you mentioned on your list?
It is.
Mm-hmm. And you sell that, Ms. Carter?
I think so.
We do, yes.
Okay. And it is not non-alcoholic?
It's low alcohol.
No, that is alcohol, yes.
It is alcohol, yes.
Yeah, it is an alcoholic beverage. Anything else?
Just a similar summation. I do think now that the commission has had the benefit of viewing this individual, it's appropriate to inquire when more than or 11 licensees, all of which have been testifying at the efforts they take and the vigilance they take with regard to service of underage minors. And licensees are quite mindful of the consequences of that. These suspensions cause people to go without pay. They hurt the livelihood of a range of people. So a single employee failing to exercise proper judgment, but in having a good faith belief that someone was of a certain age, I think should be a significant factor in the deliberation of the commission in this particular instance. This is been described as a wake-up call. It may also suggest that the problem could be better served by a wider program of education and a mindfulness around the need, even when people don't appear to look a certain age, because I would respectfully suggest that it would not be unreasonable for an employee, and in this case we know of at least 11 of them, to make a conclusion given the size and appearance of this individual that they were not a minor. Hope the board will take that into consideration now, having had the benefit of seeing the appearance of this individual.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Again, I'm quite concerned about this type of violation. I think the fact that someone is tall or not slim does not give a reasonableness defense to anyone. I think also under the law it's very clear that the only time a licensee is afforded a reasonable an assumption of reasonable care is when they card and they use the cards and the IDs that are identified in state law as being appropriate to use in an era where we are told not to discriminate and not to make judgments as to people's appearances. I think it's very dangerous to assume just because someone is tall or of a larger frame that they are not their age or that they are of a certain age. With that said, again,
I find that there's a violation here, and consistent with everything else, I would, and just for the record, because we didn't mention it in this case, this licensee has been in operation since approximately 2005, and there is no apparent disciplinary history, or at least no recent one. But with that said, I would vote for a violation, and I would issue a 2-day suspension. Thank you. We'll leave you with the statement of the evening.
You took picture of
everyone.
Yeah, that's right.
Hamilton Farms. Testimony you're about to get to be the truth, the whole truth, and
nothing but the truth. Thank you. Good morning. Could you please state your names and spell your last names for the record?
Good morning. James Rafferty on behalf of the licensee.
Thank you.
Good morning. Dennis Sidnaway, S-A-I-D-N-A-W-E-Y.
I'm sorry, how do I spell your first name?
D-E-N-N-A.
Thank you.
Tom Sidnaway, S-A-I-D-N-A-W-E-Y.
Thank you. Go ahead. Oh, sorry.
Officer Benny Zito, S-Z-E-T-O, Cambridge Police.
Tyler Bubenik, B-U-B-E-N-I-K.
Thank you.
Forensic investigator. While performing a field investigation, an underage individual working with the Cambridge License Commission was able to procure a 6-pack of beer on August 15th, 2019 at 3:15 p.m. at Pemberton Farms located at 2225 Massachusetts Avenue. I picked up the underage operative from the Cambridge Police Department on the afternoon of August 15th. I collected all items from the individual so that there was nothing on their person and gave them one marked $20 bill. We reviewed the License Commission's compliance check guidelines, and the individual signed the Agreement of Participation, Waiver of Liability, and Guidelines. The underage individual entered the establishment. I waited outside of the premise on the sidewalk with a clear view of the door. When the operative exited the establishment, they were in possession of a 6-pack of beer, which Officer Zito and I then immediately retrieved along with the change. I also asked if the cashier who sold them the 6-pack asked for identification, and the operative informed me that they had not. I returned the 6-pack and change, informed the cashier that they had sold a 6-pack to an underage person, and requested my marked $20 bill back, which they returned. I then filled out inspection form number 982, which was signed, and a copy was left with the establishment.
Thank you. Counselor?
Thank you. Inspector, I assume if I asked you the same questions I've asked you in the last two matters, the responses would be the same.
It's a safe bet.
Okay. So, with all due respect, I would rely upon that inquiry as part of the record of this hearing, if the chair would allow.
What specifically, because when we decide, we need to decide on specific facts presented. On
issues around the appearance of the operative.
So you want the testimony that Investigator Bubenik has been in the industry over 10 years, that as part of his job, he checks IDs regularly, that he would have carded this person, and that this person reasonably looks their age, and your argument that all of that is false?
Well, I wouldn't characterize it as false. I think it's an assessment that I don't concur with.
Okay.
I'm not suggesting he hasn't been in the industry for 10 years or that he doesn't have that. So the issues around I want to make clear for the record in this case that the issues around the appearance of the individual are an element of our presentation today.
Okay.
Now, that being the case, I would ask the licensee if they could describe for the commission the steps they take with regard to the prevention of sale of alcohol to underage patrons.
And I'm sorry, before you answer, are those new steps or are those the steps that were in place?
There's some that were in place prior, and then I've made changes since the incident as
Okay, so let's do the ones that were in effect on the day of the incident and then the ones that you have implemented since. Thank you.
So
you can separate those for us. Thank you.
So in our beer, wine, and liquor store, we don't sell there. They go over to the grocery store, and everything gets rung up at that point in the grocery store. So all of my beer, wine, and liquor people have been TIP certified, and we also did the Cambridge 21 program. We had how many people? Like 14 people trained in the past with that program. When a new hire gets established, they understand we have a a swipe machine, so any out-of-state IDs have to go through the swipe machine at all the time. Yeah, it's called an ID machine, and if it red flags it, they can't serve to that person. We have training in the new hire packet about looking 35. That's what we do at Pemberton Farms. If they look under 35, that they do get carded. And it's discussed in the interview process as well as in the first week of training. That was our past.
And I'm sorry, you said that when you go to the alcohol section, you don't pay there, you pay at the grocery section.
Yes.
And then you mentioned that you have your beer and wine people, tips, and 21 proof certified. Do you have your cashiers?
No, we do not, but we have taken steps since then to be able to execute on the 21 tips training. We actually have reached out and sent a few emails to set up a training in-house.
We did have them certified in the past. We had brought somebody in from the city to the store years ago and met with approximately 15 of our employees, which were beer, wine, and liquor, as well as cashiers, as well as just general workers. But again, that was probably 7 or 8 years ago in turnover. So.
But in just to be clear, your carding system is at the point of sale?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right at the registers.
Yep.
And that has been in place?
Probably 7 or 8 years.
Yep. Anything else? Just as for the individual who performed the sale, what's her status?
She was there 2 days, and then when this went on, her husband is a firefighter for Cambridge, and she just never showed back up again to work. So, I mean, we wanted to sit down and talk to her. Tom and I were out of town, and then when we came back in, we asked her to sit down with us just to find out what went on. We did have videotape, and we reviewed the videotape of the incident. We don't take this lightly. I'm very disciplined. I'm like a drill sergeant, so every day when I walk up to the cashiers, I talk about carding, how important it is every single day I work, because that's the only way you're going to get consistency is if you talk about it every single day.
I'm 48 years in at Pemberton Farms.
It's embarrassing to us because I know we do a good job at it. I just, being hurt new, us out of town, it could have, but there's no excuses for that. I totally get that.
So you saying that the employee was working at the establishment for 2 days?
2 days.
Prior to?
Yes.
And Investigator Bubnik, no ask for ID, right?
No ask.
With that said, again, I find a violation and I would issue...
Could I be heard, Joanne?
Oh, I thought you were done.
Well, I'm done with questions, but I
did... Okay, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
...argument I wanted to offer the board in this case, again, as an example of the vulnerability a licensee finds themselves before the commission when they have trained and hired a new person and regrettably that person fails to follow the law. And in this case, you have a decades-old family business and a single individual, when faced with this situation, given the facts and the appearance of the operative, made a mistake. And I would suggest to the commission that that mistake should not cost Pemberton Farms and its many employees to have to cease operations. I would ask that the board consider the efforts around prevention that are engaged in by this licensee and the lack of any disciplinary history with a decades-long record. And I respect the board wants to be consistent in its discipline, but I would think that while justice is blind, compassion is appropriate, and progressive discipline was always a feature that got mentioned in the commission for years to encourage licensees in their behavior and to promote adherence to this. And I would hope that the commission would consider in this case a form of progressive discipline rather than a simple application of a standard formula. Thank you.
Okay. I do have a question since your counselor mentioned it. This person was a cashier, or was this a beer and wine person?
Cashier.
So this person was not trained for tips or 21 proof.
She would have been through the interview process. Not trained. She was not trained, correct. But she was. It was discussed with her through the interview process.
And when you're saying it was discussed with her, what exactly was discussed with her?
So we talk about the 35 or older. We talk about how important it is to be carding everybody.
We explain how the ID machine works.
Yep. More technical things of that nature as well.
They're prompted by the POS system as soon as you scan any alcohol item to check for ID. It comes up automatically.
When you say it comes up automatically, what, on some sort of display on the register?
Exactly. Yeah, we have two screens, one that faces the customer, one that faces the cashier. And if you scan liquor, wine, beer, it prompts check ID.
So you can obviously bypass this some kind
of
way.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Press a button and keep moving.
So you don't have to enter the date of birth?
No.
Correct.
Can that system be modified?
Yes, it can.
Have you modified it at this point?
My controller is working with our system right now. There's a lot that has to go behind the scenes, so we have started that process. So they're working with IT to be able to have that pop up and put that into the system. We had to go through new credit cards first, and so now we're on this next.
I myself have shopped in liquor establishments, not in this city, where the transaction cannot go forward without me producing a piece of identification.
Yeah, it's all POS based. Back, you have to. I don't know the word. You have to program it in.
I know I've had to fork
it
over my driver's license.
Yep. We're working on it.
The history.
They've been. It appears operating since 1983 with no disciplinary history. In this case, I don't disagree, and this board does do progressive discipline, but like we started when we started with these cases, it is being considered, but this is a humongous public safety violation issue, and had this licensee had other violations, I would be voting for more than 2 days. I think it's commensurate to the type of public safety violation. I understand that our violations and what we do affects different people, but so does what our licensees do. Again, I'm quite concerned about this type of violation, and I would stay consistent and vote a violation and a 2-day suspension. This is not a retribution type of suspension, and neither have been any of the other ones. This is commensurate to the type of violation that has occurred.
I concur.
Violation today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I ask you a quick question?
No.
City Liquors? You stand, raise your right hand. Where the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes.
Thank you. You can sit down. Good morning. Could you please, or good afternoon at this point, could you please state your name and spell your last name for the record?
Sure. My name is Vinoz Pradhan. I'm the owner of City Liquors.
Can you spell your name and your last name for the record, please?
My first name is Vinoz, B for boy, I-N-O-J, last name Pradhan, B for Peter, R-A-D-H-A-N, N for Nancy.
Thank you very much.
Paul Zazito, S-Z-E-T-O, Cambridge Police.
Tyler Bubenik, B-U-B-E-N-I-K, licensing investigator. While performing a field investigation, an underage individual working with the Cambridge License Commission was able to procure a six-pack of beer on August 15, 2019 at 4 p.m. at City Liquors located at 620 Cambridge Street. I picked up the underage operative from the Cambridge Police Department on the afternoon of August 15th. I collected all items from the individual so that there was nothing on their person and gave them one marked $20 bill. We reviewed the License Commission's compliance check guidelines, and the individual signed the agreement of participation, waiver of liability, and guidelines. The underage individual entered the establishment. I waited outside of the premise on the sidewalk with a clear view of the door. When the operative exited the establishment, they were in possession of a six-pack of beer, which Officer Zito and I then immediately retrieved, along with the change. I also asked if the cashier who sold them the six-pack asked for identification, and the operative informed me that they had not. I returned the six-pack and change, informed the cashier that they had sold a six-pack to an underage person, and requested my marked $20 bill back, which they returned. I then filled out inspection form number 998, which was signed, and a copy was left with the establishment.
Thank you.
Yes, so I'm just here to tell you what happened. So my employee saw this individual, and in his judgment, he thought wasn't less than 21 because the other guy was bigger than him. So that was his explanation. But I'm not here to argue that I didn't make a mistake. I'm here to apologize to the board that we did make a mistake. Based on the judgment my employees made, I usually call my establishment pretty much every day and just warn every employee that they need to check IDs. But unfortunately, this individual didn't listen to me, and this is why I'm here today. So I had to let him go. I know it might sound harsh, and I know that I'm going to be suspended for 2 days, but these are what I've done. And to change for the future, what I've done is I also put a small piece of paper, like a sign, in front of all the witnesses and say, please get your IDs out, get your IDs ready when you get to the counter. So that's like mandatory for every customer, except if they look really old, we don't want to offend them. But, you know, I'm not here to argue with you guys. I apologize to this board. And also, if I'm going to be suspended 2 days, I would request if I can get suspended in the days that Proof 21 has dates available. That's my only request.
Any questions?
So I can train my employees. That's the one thing. Because I don't want to lay off other employees for those 2 days. They're going to leave their job for 2 days. That's something for them. Instead, I can pay them to go to these classes, and you know, all of them can go to the classes. So that's all my request.
So this particular location, the transfer of the license happened in 2014. And other than a noise issue about, I think it was an HVAC.
Yeah, it was a conditioning unit on the roof, and
it was
the house are so close to each other. And
yeah, it was
but
a warning.
From there,
was
I fixed the problem. No issues.
Yeah, no issues. Again, I feel like a broken record at this point, but I find a violation, just based on the seriousness of this offense, I would issue a 2-day suspension. And I would deny the request to specifically have the licensee choose the dates and proceed with our process of the dates being chosen by a designee.
I concur.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. You'll receive a statement of reasons.
Libby's Market. Please raise your right hand. Swear the testimony you're about to give to the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes.
Yes.
Good afternoon. Could you please state your names and spell your last names for the record?
Jaswinder Pabla, P-A-B-L-A.
And your first name?
Jaswinder, J-A-S-W-I-N-D-E-R.
Okay, thank you.
Arjun Kunwar, first name A-R-J-U-N, last name K-U-N.
I'm sorry, A-R-J.
U-N,
mm-hmm.
Last name K-U-N-W-A-R.
Thank you.
Officer Benny Zito, S-Z-E-T-O, Cambridge Police.
Tyler Bubenik, B-U-B-E-N-I-K, licensing investigator.
Go ahead.
While performing a field investigation, an underage individual working with the Cambridge License Commission was able to procure a six-pack of beer on August 15th, 2019 at 3:40 p.m. at Libby's Market located at 575 Massachusetts Avenue. I picked up the underage operative from the Cambridge Police Department on the afternoon of August 15th. I collected all items from the individual so that there was nothing on their person and gave them one marked $20 bill. We reviewed the License Commission's compliance check guidelines, and the individual signed the Agreement of Participation, Waiver of Liability, and Guidelines. The underage individual entered the establishment. I waited outside of the premise, on the sidewalk, with a clear view of the door. When the operative exited the establishment, they were in possession of a six-pack of beer, which Officer Zito and I then immediately retrieved along with the change. I also asked if the cashier who sold them the six-pack asked for identification, and the operative informed me that they had not. I returned the six-pack and change, informed the cashier that they had sold the six-pack to an underage person, and requested my marked $20 bill back, which they returned. I then filled out inspection form number 983, which was signed, and a copy was left with the establishment.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. Definitely, the employee behind the counter who served the operative, made a bad judgment in terms of checking the ID. There was a group of people he was trying to serve them and let them go fast from the store. That's why he didn't check the ID. We haven't had like this kind of thing for so many years. On our weekly staff and a monthly staff meeting, and these are the top two things we go through, checking IDs and no service for an intoxicated person. Our store is located right in the Central Square area, which is the most vulnerable area for these two. When I do the meetings with my staff, even before training them regarding the other merchandise and stuff, these are the two things I always remind them. Back in 10 years ago, 2007-08, we used to have this one. But after that, we have put a electronic system, the card reader on the side. Also, there is a handbook because the electronic machine doesn't read all 50 states ID. So we have a handbook that says 2019, all the updated IDs from all the states. So beside that, in the past, I used to go on the trainings that Frank Connolly used to do, how to check IDs, and we used to produce like a 50 states ID, and we used to check if the ID was fake or not. So I'm very familiar with these two things, checking IDs and no service for the intoxicated person in the Central Square area. But this time our employee definitely made a bad judgment, and I apologize for that. And going forward, and I have made a group on a WhatsApp, so it's trendy, and I send them a daily reminder, check IDs, no service for intoxicated person, like on a daily basis, especially on this, because the violation was so recent. That's all.
Thank you. They have been in operation for prior to 2013. I don't have exactly the date.
2004,
thank you. And the only disciplinary, or the most recent disciplinary history, was in 2013 for service to minors.
That was the last violation was regarding the fake ID. We produced the ID on the machine, and the machine read it was over 21, but in reality the ID was fake.
Okay. Okay.
Here, once again, there was no ask for ID, so if any card reader or whatever is not even gonna help.
Yeah. So consistent with everything else, violation 2 days.
Okay. So.
Thank you. You'll receive a statement of reason.
Sure. Thank you.
Cambridge Wine and Spirits. The testimony you're about to give to be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your names for the record?
Michael Young, MICHAELYOUNG.
David Fields, FIELTS.
Andrea Boyer, BOYER, investigator for the City of Cambridge License Commission.
Officer Benny Zito, SZETO, Cambridge Police.
Tyler Bubenik, BUBENIK, licensing investigator.
Go ahead.
For performing a field investigation, an underage individual working with the Cambridge License Commission was able to procure a six-pack of beer on August 6, 2019 at 3:15 p.m. at Cambridge Wine and Spirits located at 202 Elway Brook Parkway. I picked up the underage operative from the Cambridge Police Department on the afternoon of August 6th. I collected all items from the individual so that there was nothing on their person and gave them one marked $20 bill. We reviewed the License Commission's compliance check guidelines, and the individual signed the agreement of participation, waiver of liability, and guidelines. The underage individual entered the establishment, and I waited a few seconds before entering as well. Observing from inside the premise, I was able to see them pick up a six-pack of beer, bring it to the register, pay for the item, then leave the premise. I followed the operative outside, and together with Officer Zito, immediately retrieved the six-pack and change. I asked if the cashier who sold them the six-pack asked for identification, and the operative informed me that they had not. I returned the six-pack and change, informed the cashier that they had sold the six-pack to an underage person, and requested my marked $20 bill back, which they returned. I then filled out inspection form number 999, during which time I requested a manager, at which point Michael Young was summoned. At one point during our interaction, Michael Young left the vicinity, telling me that he needed to make a phone call. He returned a short while later, signed the form, and a copy was left at the establishment.
Thank you. Thank you. Based on information received from Investigator Bubinick and Officer Zito's August 6th underage field investigation, I performed a follow-up investigation with Cambridge Wine and Spirits. Through my investigation, I learned that after the investigators left Cambridge Wine and Spirits, Michael Young, owner and manager, called Michael Weiner, the owner and manager of Save More Liquors, to inform that his thing was going on. I met with Mr. Young and his business partner of Cambridge Wine and Spirits on August 19, 2019. I explained to them that I was meeting with them because I was told that he had called another establishment during an active investigation, which would fall under hindering an investigation. When I asked Mr. Young if he called another establishment, he did not say yes or no, but did explain that establishments call one another if there's a credit card scam in the area or if there's someone underage trying to buy. Mr. Young and his business partner asked if they shouldn't call other places if they know someone in the area is underage trying to buy alcohol. I explained that if it's a kid from Ridge in Latin trying to buy liquor, yes, but not from after an investigation. Investigation and/or investigator and Cambridge police officer just left their establishment performing an investigation. I gave Mr. Young an inspection form for a violation of Cambridge rules and regulations, signaling another establishment and hindering an investigation.
I'm sorry, what was the date that you said that you met with Mr. Young and his partners?
August 19th.
So again, deeply sorry for the violation. We don't deny it. We understand that can happen. I've been an active member of the Cambridge Licensee Advisory Board since its inception, when Richard Scali was the commissioner of the License Commission. At the time, there were some violations in the city, and the License Commission thought it would be a good idea to form a group that could work together to educate the licensees, find ways of preventing underage sales for minors, and also sharing helpful information between the community, including Harvard and MIT, who also have been active members. Through that group, which we call CLAB, we've had a lot of helpful things that have gone on, particularly when we talked about the 21 proof training, which we did perform again with Tally Schiller. I was in the meetings when Frank Conley was putting the program together, involved in helping put the program together. So I was there helping that. So my work, again, I've been doing this license holder since 1978. I know I don't look that old, but unfortunately I am. And I've taken this matter very seriously since day one. My partner here, David, has also been involved in the store. And in the last 41 years, one of us is generally in the store or close by. And again, it's a daily battle of teaching our employees if we should card people, when we should card them, how we should card them. One of the first things, David's led a lot of our interview process, even today. The first thing you come in, we interview somebody is, do you understand the liability, the legal issues? We have to check IDs. Have you ever checked IDs before? Do you feel comfortable checking IDs? If we feel any hesitation, if somebody's not capable, we don't hire them. So right off from the get-go, we want to have somebody that's capable of following the laws. We take it very seriously. So again, our record, we have a very good record for many, many years. We've gone, I feel, above and beyond just our responsibilities as a license holder to work with the community, work with the City of Cambridge to help prevent underage drinking. I think you're looking at a very narrow cross-section of violations at any given time, no matter, and I'm just sitting here through the past violations, no matter how well-trained, how personally involved somebody is involved in the store, at some point, I'm going to have a day off. I have to go in my office to do some ordering. I can't be at the register 24/7. And even then, I'm at the store. I'm checking every customer that comes in. I am personally checking to see, is that cashier, does the person need to be carded? Are they checking? So since this point, we realized that there's gaps, that there can be gaps anywhere. What can we do to improve our standing and our upholding our responsibility? So again, we take public safety as our paramount concern. If anybody's intoxicated, if anybody's underage, we do not want to sell them. We do not sell them. That is our policy. I've communicated with Andrea Boyer some of the changes we've made. So she has copies of things. I don't want to be redundant. If you need me to go through some of these, I will. If you already have our ID policy, but Andrea.
I just want to make sure I have what you're referring to. I do know that some stuff was.
Yeah,
the Cambridge Wine and Spirits employee ID policy.
That is
correct. Was this in effect?
Yes, it was in effect.
And then you provided us some 21 proof of a recent August 13th.
Yes, we've trained and retrained all the employees. I think there's maybe one more. We had one who wasn't available. We had her train online. We did an online training. So,
yeah,
tips.
And we received an email from Sally Sheeler from the Cambridge Alliance as to a training that was performed on September. September of this year.
Yeah, we had two trainings. So I had worked with. Checked with Elizabeth Lent what she recommended in terms of retraining or training. She recommended calling Sally Schiller, who we did. So she immediately, within a week, she came to our establishment. We also welcomed that she would, anybody else she wanted to bring to do training since we were having her training. So she did bring about another 10 employees of another establishment to do the training with us. I thought it went well. I think our employees, again, even though we might have felt that we trained them well, it's hard to impress the importance, the seriousness of checking IDs and being responsible. So we're in favor of the ID checks. We're in favor of everything that we can do to, humanly possible, to prevent underage drinking and or underage sale of minors. And one of the meetings years ago in CLAB, we came up with we wanted to have a universal signage in the city, which we distributed. I helped distribute it to the other licensees. And we agreed that it would be a 30-year-old or younger, because if, just for example, if I'm at, my ID is 30 and Michael Weiner across the street is 35, it confuses the customers. So we wanted to be on the same page as far as the licensees being consistent. I was almost in favor. The only way I felt we could have 100% compliance, or anybody can have 100% compliance, is you go to Fenway Park or Boston Garden, everybody shows an ID. I mentioned that. Unfortunately, the consensus was we were going to upset too many customers. In particular, years back, the Hyatt Regency had an issue where the manager went and checked an ID. They had a family with an underage person at a table, and they were sharing wine with that, with their child, who was under 21. The manager refused to sell them. The person staying at the hotel wrote a letter to corporate. Corporate reprimanded the manager. So corporate said, we don't want to upset our patrons. The manager is trying to uphold the law, so it's confusing. We try to eliminate the confusion. We want to have set policies. We want to uphold the policies. Unfortunately, you're dealing with one human person at one particular point of time. It's a violation. We all agree it's a violation. We're not here to fight the violation. We're here to figure out ways to prevent further violations. And we're trying to do everything possible. So, things we did, we retrained our employees. We tripled down on improving our policies. We reworked our policy. We sat down with each individual employee, person to person, went over the policy with them, make sure they understand it, made sure what the repercussions are, and had them sign that. We have copies of that. You have that. We have daily reminders, whether for us, we have regular meetings with our managers expressing the importance of IDs, and we express to them, if you see somebody at the register, cashier's ringing them up, make sure if they need to be carded that it was done. If not, you go ask them. We did do some new signage. We have a very large sign right at the front entrance of the store that can't be missed. After this violation, I had several sleepless nights. One of my sleepless nights, I kind of figured out a sign in the shape of a stop sign. The next day, I made it up, and we have it on the door explaining our policy. If you're 30 years or 30 years old or younger, you must show an ID. So we're letting people know before they even come in the store. We just work very hard at obeying the law. We feel really bad about it. And again, our record will support our efforts, I think. And we have one of the longest records of all the retailers, so the licensees you've heard today. We've been working hard, and I don't think that's happened by accident. Maybe we can be lucky, but I think we're also good.
Mr. Young, did you call Mr. Weiner to tell him that the licensing unit was doing investigations with an underage operative?
Okay, so I did not call the liquor store. I did not have any knowledge of the investigation. They didn't tell me they were where they were going or if they were continuing. They didn't give me any information of what
they were doing. Did they tell you that they were from the license commission?
Yes, they did.
And did they show you a badge?
I believe Officer Ito did show me a badge, yes.
Okay.
And you had a business card you showed me. I actually thought this gentleman was the, I was saying, he looks older, over 30. He said, no, it wasn't me that, because I wasn't at the front at the time.
Did you call Mr. Weiner and tell him that you had just had a visit and that they had done it with an underage operative?
I had contacted him directly on his phone to vent with him, not to warn him. I was very distressed, as I explained before. Being in this business for so long, the store is my family, it is my life, so I was very upset. I think the investigators witnessed my actions at the time. It wasn't to be disrespectful to them. They're doing their job, and I did say to them afterwards, they're doing their job. I immediately calling the license commission to find out what we can do to either help our situation, what we can do. Elizabeth Lentz had mentioned some server training. I also had communicated with Michael Warner to express my situation, that I was very upset, and we did discuss server training. His family is involved in the Mass Package Store Association, so they also have training, so we did have a conversation regarding training. So we're very concerned about just improving our situation, not to impede an investigation. And I was distraught, and I needed to vent, and it wasn't any other reason.
Was that the only licensed liquor establishment you called?
Yes.
Did that cause mass notifications to go out for?
No, it did not.
And Investigator Rubinick or Boyer, is that your understanding of the extent of the notifications?
That it was a phone call was made to Mr. Weiner at Savemore? Yes, that was the call that I know about.
We apologize for my actions that might have caused any, disruption on the investigation. It was not my intention.
Anything else? Anything else? Okay. I'd actually like to take this one under advisement. At this time, I'm not ready to vote on this one. Okay. We'll take it under advisement.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Save more spirits.
You can please stand up for a moment.
Sure. swear the testimony you're about to give to be the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Could you please state your names and spell your last names for the record?
Good afternoon, Madam Chair. Stephen Miller, S-T-E-P-H-E-N-M-I-L-L-E-R, from McDermott, Colton Miller, 28 State Street in Boston.
Michael Weiner, W-E-I-N-E-R, from Save More Spirits, no E's in Save or More.
Thank you. I'm Andrea Boyer, B-O-Y-E-R, investigator of the Cambridge License Commission.
Also, Benny Zito, S-Z-E-T-O, Cambridge Police.
Tyler Bubenick, B-U-B-E-N-I-K, licensing investigator.
Thank you. Go ahead.
While performing a field investigation, an underage individual working with the Cambridge License Commission was able to procure a six-pack of beer on August 6th, 2019 at 3:30 p.m. at Save More Spirits, located at 233 Alewife Brook Parkway. I picked up the underage operative from the Cambridge Police Department on the afternoon of August 6th. I collected all items from the individual so that there was nothing on their person and gave them one marked $20 bill. We reviewed the License Commission's compliance check guidelines, and the individual signed the Agreement of Participation, Waiver of Liability, and Guidelines. The underage individual entered the establishment. I waited outside of the premise, on the sidewalk, with a clear view of the door. When the operative exited the establishment, they were in possession of a six-pack of beer, which Officer Zito and I then immediately retrieved, along with the change. I also asked if the cashier who sold them the six-pack had asked for identification, and the individual informed me that they had not. I returned the six-pack and change, informed the cashier that they had sold a six-pack to an underage person, and requested my March $20 bill back, which they returned. I then filled out inspection form number 989. While I was filling out the inspection form, I heard another voice behind the counter say, "It's Michael. The city is doing inspections." At that point, Officer Zito and the cashier responded, "Too late." Having just come from Cambridge Wine and Spirits and interacting with Michael Young, I inquired if it was Michael Young on the phone. The woman at the counter told me that it was not. The form was signed, and a copy was left with the establishment.
Thank you.
Based on information received from Investigator Bubenick and Officer Benny Zito, it was August 6th under underage field investigation. I performed the follow-up investigation of Save More Liquors. I contacted Michael Weiner of Save More Liquors. Mr. Weiner and I met on August 14th, 2019, in which, after discussion of the situation, he stated that he had called his employee to tell her that there was an underage thing process in the area. When I asked Mr. Weiner how he had known, although hesitant to say, he eventually said to me that Michael Young from Cambridge Wine and Spirits had called him. I gave Mr. Weiner an inspection form for violation of Cambridge rules and regulations, signaling an employee and hindering an investigation.
Thank you. Counselor?
So, Investigator Bubnick, you routinely just give a violation notice, or do you give out the reports of your sting, or in this case?
Are you talking about alcohol compliance checks with an underage
operative? Alcohol compliance checks.
No, not regularly.
So you don't give any other report other than just a violation?
Just the inspection form.
And on this particular day, you did six stings? I'm sorry.
I believe so, yes. That's at least approximately correct.
And five failed?
Correct.
Okay. So have you had the opportunity on other occasions to go to Save More Spirits?
I have checked just regular sort of compliance checks on a weekend night, went and saw to see if anyone looked like they were real young going up to buy alcohol, and I hadn't found any problems with it on a previous occasion.
Is that somewhat regular that you're out doing that?
For this establishment, I may have done it once or twice in a couple of years, so semi-regularly.
And if you've never had any reports in the past of any problems at this establishment?
I've had no other violations that I've found with the establishment.
I have some documents. Sure. Can I approach? There's a copy. There's three copies, one for each of you. So, Mr. Weiner, I want to ask you a couple of questions and then let you make a statement. So, how long has your family owned Save More Spirits?
Since 1982.
And since 1982, you've moved once within that mall?
Yes.
That same mall. And had any violations since 1982?
No.
So, did you terminate the person that did the underage sale?
No, we did not. She has been retrained. She was recently out for an extended period of time battling cancer. She was able and well enough to come back to work, where we kept her spot, so she was able to come back and be trained again along with the rest of our staff to better learn from her mistake and, you know, act as a warning to future employees that this will not be tolerated.
So the policy that in this particular case of this employee is that we thought this was a learning experience and that all the other employees could learn from it?
Yes, we allow for someone to be terminated should we make that determination in our handbook. However, in this case, we decided that it would be best for the other employees to learn from her.
And so, what was your policy at the time of this incident?
At the time of the incident, our policy was to card anyone who looked under 35. And since this time, we have changed our policy to more actively reflect what we'd like to have happening. You know, you find somebody and the best they can do is listen to what you told them and try and get it right. So now we have a policy of before you even complete the sale, you look up and you ask for the ID. You look at the person, you then can determine whether or not you want to continue that process and say, oh, you don't need to take out your ID. If it's, you know, someone's grandmother, grandfather, and they feel that that is unnecessary for them and it's a burden to have to take out of their purse, you know, their wallet, so that they are able to make that determination after they've already asked. We feel that being proactive in that way is better than having to make a determination at the moment and make a decision that will get somebody sent up in front of the board here. Again, we'd rather be able to have the IDs presented first and then say, I'm sorry, you're obviously of age.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch when you started. You said that the policy was you would card anyone who looked under, was it 35 or 25?
35.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And so, since this, what other things have you done?
We've had a training, BAT training, beverage alcohol training through MassPAC, where all of the employees, except for one person, were trained. That person is currently scheduled to be trained in another training coming up this month. Excuse me, next month, October. We've made sure that we have more than ample lighting in the building to make sure that anybody looks, if there's a question of their age. We've posted signs regarding everyone being aware of what our policy is. We've reissued our employee handbook and plan to update that again. Originally, we issued it some years ago. So the information in it is good, but the dates are difficult to understand. For example, it would say if it was issued in 2015, what the current date was for somebody being over 21. So those dates have changed. And we've asked all of the employees to sign a document stating that they have read and understand our policies regarding identification.
And so you have every employee trained, correct? Not just employees that are working registers or whatever. You have every single employee that works in the store, whether they work in the back of the store or not. Is that your policy?
That's correct. We want to have everybody trained because everybody should be in a set of eyes to be able to, you know, see who's coming in the store and be aware of what's happening. And at any moment, somebody could, you know, need some assistance at the register, and we want to make sure that they're properly trained.
So, you've been an active member of the industry in Cambridge since 20 some odd years, is that correct?
Yes, yes.
And so what are the things that have you done as far as being involved in trying to combat underage drinking?
I also, as was Michael Young, a member of the Cambridge Prevention Coalition, working with Frank Connolly to come up with and draft the 21 proof trainings, as well as working heavily around the keg policy here in Cambridge some years ago, discussing the best ways to make sure that underage people do not get access to alcohol. I've been a treasurer of CLAB and a co-chair of the Taste of Cambridge for a lot of years. I can't go remember exactly how far back. Taste of Cambridge has one goal, which is to raise money for groups to use for substance, to prevent substance use and abuse of children and adults. And since I've been a part of it, we've raised over $200,000 for that. It's something that's very important to me, both as a retailer and in my own personal time.
So you heard Michael Young testify, and you heard Investigator Inspector Boyer testify about the phone call that was made to you. Do you routinely speak with Mr. Young about issues as far as being a licensee?
Yes, we chat. I would say every month or so when we were having our meetings, we would chat. And since then, we've chatted off and on. He has a relative in Florida, right?
Yes.
Who lives across the street from where my wife was. So, you know, we chat. We're friendly, and it's not unheard of for in this business for people to be less competitors and more working towards the same goal.
And so, while there's no excuse for not knowing the rules and regulations, you were totally unaware of the regulation when that phone call made and when you called the store?
Absolutely.
And when you called
us? Sorry, is the question that he wasn't aware, you weren't aware that you could call your employees to warn them?
That is correct. It was my experience that in the past that the ABCC and the city have provided warning before, noting that there would be a sting coming out in October or November or the fall. We actually just received information from the city of Somerville for another one of our stores that there'll be upcoming compliance checks. And I thought that this was in a similar vein.
But you understand,
absolutely.
As far as to this, the commission, that ignorance is not an excuse, or,
yes.
Or and that there was no intent to hinder a violation, an investigation, and in fact, the violation had already occurred.
Right.
So, what was your intent when you called your employee?
I asked them to do their usual due diligence in making sure that everybody who comes to the register that needs to be checked for an identification is checked for an identification, as per our policy, as per the handbook.
So, Madam Chair, Commissioners, they've been, actually Michael's father is the president of the Mass Package Store Association. I think you're aware, Madam Chair, they have some very active programs to make sure to combat underage drinking. The family has been very involved with this store and other stores that they own about combating underage drinking. Occasionally mistakes are made based on the fact that they've been there for 37 years in this location, and I think even longer in their Somerville location. And this is the first violation I've ever done for them, violation hearing I've ever done for them between their two stores. So I would ask that you take that in consideration. I know that this is a serious issue, and it should be. And as you know, Madam Chair, I do this all over the state. 11 out of 13 failures is rather alarming, and it's probably something that, I think it's more than just one factor that it was involved in that, but I would ask that you do take into account not only the record of the licensee, but the actions of the licensee in participating in trying to combat underage drinking and substance abuse in Cambridge.
Thank you. All right. Just for the record, I'm sorry, I don't have the date that this store exactly opened, but it's definitely a while now, and there's no disciplinary history, at least as of 2015. With that said, I'd also like to take this one under advisement at this time.
Thank you.
Thank you. We're just going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Elizabeth, I am going to need paper. I literally ran out of paper. So just one sheet.
One? I have two.
Mention the previous violations by the seller for the exact same thing. It was on the 18th of February 2009, where they sold a six-pack to an underage individual, and then also on June 2nd, 2010, the seller was brought in for selling a can of beer to an underage individual, and you did not mention either of those. Can you comment on that?
I cannot.
So why didn't you bring that up in the hearing?
I cannot comment at this time. Thank you.
Is Beth on the record? Four Seasons Food Service, doing business as Coriana.
Please stand and raise your right hand. Swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Could you please state your names and spell your last names for the record?
Yunhee Cho, Yunhee, last name is Cho.
Sorry, too fast for me right now.
Yun. H-double-E, last name C-H-O.
C?
H-O.
H-O, okay, thank you.
J. Chung, C-H-U-N-G.
Young Mo Son, Y-E-O-N-G-M-O-S-O-H-N.
And I'm sorry, your first name again?
J-A-E.
Thank you.
Tyler Bubenik, B-U-B-E-N-I-K, licensing investigator.
Go ahead.
On July 26th, during a task force inspection, I observed the following three violations at Coriana on 158 Prospect Street. 1. Operating with 103 seats, 3 above the maximum license number of 100. 2. No certified crowd manager on site. And 3. Staff was unable to produce crowd manager paperwork. A follow-up inspection on August 26th found only one violation, that the crowd manager paperwork was filled out, but not every day.
When was that?
That was August 26th this year. A second follow-up inspection occurred on September 19th, found no violations.
Okay. Go ahead. You can go ahead with your presentation. Yeah.
Oh, no, I just... I think Ms. Cho was here then. She left 11. I think officer came in at 11:30. So I think he just missed her half an hour before, I guess.
I was not really sure that I have to stay until call. So after that, we just got another people to call manager. So now we have four people.
Okay.
So just make sure that everyone, when I get a first case, stay restaurant until call.
So you're saying you were the crowd manager that night and you left slightly before you got there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. You closed at 12 and she left at 11.
When I got home, I just got the phone call.
I just wanted to be clear. To
Yeah, after that, I just wanted to make sure so we got another. Was that time we just only have two crowd managers, so we just get another person together.
We have four now, so we have a cover. And also, the seating part goes out to really explain to the board. A Korean barbecue restaurant, so it is a grill in the middle. So you cannot count it sometimes as four, sometimes two people sit there, or big table, even though they want a barbecue table, they gaps on the front of the grill, so it doesn't always sit four. Sometimes some table take two or three, so we always try to be under 100 seating part. So that night was extra chair up there, but I don't know, we don't never extra chair up there was there, so the only thing we had violation of, right?
So, you, excuse me, investigator Bubnik, you count heads, not chairs, right?
No, this was for seating, specifically seating. So you have your booth seating, what's attached to the wall?
Correct.
Those count as seats, and those never move, because I assume you don't take those out.
Correct.
Those, plus the chairs, plus your stools at the bar.
Correct. There should be a 99, but I'm saying this, the banquet booth, people can sit on a chair, but we don't. When you have a party of four, the table, like, so we don't, I mean, you count it as a four, but sometimes you sit people for two, too, so.
So seating is different than capacity in the sense that it's just the physical existence of a place
Correct.
Where someone could sit. So if you have 103 when you're only licensed for 100, you're three over.
But it wasn't 100 people there, right?
Sometimes people put their stuff on the seat, you know, like a baby. Before, we're using the high chair to upside down to put the baby seat, but we can't really do anymore. Like, so the sign for don't do it, for safety. So sometimes, you know, that people asking the chair, I'm not really sure, but some people probably just not going to bring the chair anymore, definitely, but maybe at that moment, someone maybe forgot to bring it back, probably. From now on, we're definitely not going to make sure for not bring the chair extra, whatever, no matter what.
And then in terms of the crowd manager paperwork not being filled out, because I know that you guys were here earlier this year. In terms of crowd control paperwork.
Yeah, some missing, and then we tried to make sure to fill that out all now.
So we fill out every night now.
Every morning we do.
Yeah. Plus, we're not really crazy bar seat, it's restaurant seat, so a lot of people like extra chair because the old ladies come in and when I sit, it's the only thing that happened, bring extra chair up. But on that, we're very strict about sitting 99, 100, you know, the trying to do because we've been violated last time, so.
Investigator Bubnik, did you compare sort of the layout that you saw to the floor plan that we currently have?
I didn't.
Okay.
So, Inspector Bubnik, the violations that are cited in paragraph A, those are specific to seating or people overcrowding?
That's specific to seating. They're well under 100 people
right.
in the establishment.
Okay, I just wanted to establish that.
Okay. I think the hearing notice that went out with over the license capacity, so not
right.
With regard to the floor plan.
Right.
I see. Yeah. Okay. Anything else? Okay. With that said, and based on the fact that it actually went out the wrong way, and also I'm not quite sure in terms of whether the explanation, if we compare to the floor plan, whether we have an issue here, I would vote a no violation on the count one, which is the operating over the license capacity, and I would vote a violation on the crowd control manager stuff. Last time we gave them a warning with regard to that. I would, considering that Investigator Bubnik went out on the 19th and found no violations, I would say maybe a one-day held in abeyance for 6 months just to make sure that they stay on top of it.
I concur with that.
I definitely concur with the. I concur with both of them.
Okay. You'll receive a statement of reasons. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Does the factory? I swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Thank you.
Um,
Good afternoon. Could you please state your name and spell your last name for the record?
Yeah, last name is Pabla, B-A-B-L-A.
And your first name?
Last name is S-A-R-A, B like boy, J-E-E-T, Sarabjit Pabla.
Thank you.
Tyler Bubenik, B-U-B-E-N-I-K, licensing investigator.
Go ahead.
The Cambridge License Commission was informed of an inspection by the Inspection Services Department, which found that Dosa Factory was operating with 29 seats, but is only licensed for 20. I conducted inspections on August 9th, September 20th, and September 23rd, and counted 30, 21, and 21 seats, respectively. It should be noted that during the most recent inspection, that's the one on the 23rd, one seat was removed before I left the premise, bringing the number of seats into compliance.
I'm sorry, can you give me the seats again? 8, 9, 9, 20, and 9, 23, and what's the seat corresponding seating?
So August 9th is 30, mm-hmm. September 20th is 21, mm-hmm. and September 23rd is 21. Although I would mention with the addendum that.
And the license is for 20?
20, correct.
Okay, fine.
Ms. Pablo?
Sorry, this is the first time it's lack of my knowledge because we do have before is like a lunch buffet. So we have a table, so we removed that a couple of months before. We don't put any buffet anymore. So I put two tables over there. So I'm totally like, from we have like last, I think 2017, we had inspection. I explained to her too. On that time, I because we have grocery store in the front and restaurant in the back, we have like six, seven like, you know, employees. So I asked on that time, should we keep one table just for the employees? And I know the police on that time. I have no idea who is that. He asked me already what is the inspector on that time. But I request like we are eating on the lunch time or snack time. So he said you can put the sign, this is employee table only. So we put, we framed and put the employee table only on the corner. So when sir come in, he said, no, this is not be allowed any. So we removed that table on that day, same day, and only kept one chair for the, just for the employee eating lunch or like something, you know. So we put same sign on this employee table, no customer sit down there, only for the employees for the break time or something.
So my issue with this is that you have in 2018, at the beginning of 2018,
to the end of 2017, yeah, starting of the year.
No, in January of 2018, we had an issue in terms of the licensing because you removed, you were approved for 30 seats, but you removed and you went down to 18 because you did not want to get a COI because you didn't want to deal with ISD. So that changed. You now got an ISD certificate. It's for 20. And then you have a licensed investigator going to your place now four times to basically get you to operate with the capacity, not only with the floor plan that you submitted, but the floor plan that has been approved by ISD and this office. And we're here again.
Yeah, that's the thing. This is lack of my, because my my brother, we the family business, and my brother-in-law, he has a bypass surgery. He not come in the restaurant 3-4 months. So because I told you we moved the table for the buffet, so I put like your table, oh, because the table space is all empty. So like I'm not thinking, oh, this is gonna be added like a chair or table, like, you know, as counter is going to be more now. So like when he come first time, he said, oh, your total is coming 29. I said, oh, I'm gonna do right away move this. So we do at night time remove all those tables, so I said no more. So only when he comes second time, this is one table, one chair only, one chair and one table in the front. So I said, should I keep as it like employee table only so we can share it for eating lunch or something? So he said, I'm not sure. So I will check with them. So when he comes third time, he checked with them, I think text with your...
I would just make one correction. I told you before, yeah. I left on the second time that it, yeah, couldn't be there.
Yeah.
Madam Chair, who is the manager of record?
It looks like Pavan Pablo.
Yeah. Pablo or Emmerich Pablo, he's my brother-in-law.
He's your brother-in-law?
Yeah.
And you stated that, is this the same person you were referring to that had some sort of medical condition?
He has a DAV and he had lost 2-3 months back and Sturm's and he had a heart attack. He's no more coming in the more restaurants. So usually I'm in the desk, so I met with 2-3 times him. So that's why I'm saying it's my fault. It's not gonna be in a hamper, not even one stool anymore, because he have no idea. Like, so I put like 2 tables, remove the buffet table and on that time.
I mean, at one point you were licensed for more seats, so I don't think that this is an issue in terms of space. I mean, if you want to have more seats, then so you should just apply to get more seats and update your floor plan to get more seats. But you shouldn't, I mean, right now you have not only a license, but you have the ISD certificate, both with the same amount, and yet you're not following it, which is a problem.
And now I know, like, I'm definitely saying now, I'm definitely understand this is not, this is just lack of misunderstanding or my knowledge, like, you know. So I explained to my brother-in-law, he said, it's not gonna be, if he want, he can reply again, for the, if he want more extended, but not right now, it's 20, it's fine.
With that said,
history.
So we.
Is it just that one January 2018?
No, the January stuff was, it was all through renewals. Mm-hmm. So no, it wasn't that we they used to have. But that's not really disciplinary. Hold on. I mean, we denied the renewal of their liquor license there. But not really. They were operating without a license in 2018. That's when all of that started. I would vote a violation, and I'd be inclined to doing a suspension held in abeyance.
I concur.
Okay,
that's
one day? Yeah, one day held in abeyance for 6 months?
Yes.
Okay. You'll receive a statement of reasons, okay? So we basically voted one day held in abeyance for 6 months. That means if no other violations occur, you don't have to serve the suspension, okay? Thank you.
Second call, Garrick, 103.
And I say we take action without the benefit of the licensee, if they were informed at the time. So, Rubenick, why don't you give us the fact?
Sure. Well, Patrol Garrick sent a landscape company was using a leaf blower July 1st, 3:30 p.m. at 217-229 Putnam Avenue, which constitutes usage during a prohibited period. Also, the employee was using a Redmax EBZ8500, which is rated at 77 dBA. That's above the allowable maximum of 65 dBA.
And in terms of their history?
September 10th, 2018, the board found a violation for usage during a prohibited period and using multiple leaf blowers within 10,000 square feet of each other. Fined a total of $600. Nothing older than that.
Excuse me, what was the date of that?
September 10th, 2018.
That said, I would find a violation on both counts, issue a $300 fine on each for a total of $600.
Concur.
Thank you. Anything else? No, see you at 3.